Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 115, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. I feel like I keep saying this lately, but today we're doing something a little bit different for our weekly interview episode. So last week we had another blab. You can find those at blab.im, and we are Brilliant Biz Mom. And we chatted with Sherry Tracy of Orglamix.com and May Pack of TinyHandsOnline.com. And we talked with them about how they work with influencers on Instagram to grow their following on Instagram, but also to promote their products. And both May and Sherry have just fantastic advice. So we wanted to air it as a regular Tuesday episode for all of you because they are clearly very knowledgeable on this subject. So the blab, which by the way, it works best with Chrome or pretty much only works with Chrome. So if you're trying to use Internet Explorer, it's not going to work so well. But the blab, you can see the full video replay on blab.im. You can search for Brilliant Biz Mom. We also are going to post the video on our YouTube channel as well. But because it's a blab, the sound quality isn't quite what we would normally like to have for a regular podcast interview. So please bear with us on that. I also wanted to mention that during our blab, several different apps or programs or websites were mentioned, and we will definitely link to all of that plus our blab profile in the show notes. So just head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/BBM115. And you can get all of the links that were mentioned during the blab right there. All right, let's get started blabbing about Instagram and influencers.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
I'm Bethann Schwamberger, one half of the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, co-host with my sister Sarah. Over to you. Sarah.
Oh, hey, I'm Sarah, also part of the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast.
Okay. Isn't this kind of like the Brady Bunch? I'm like, oh, yeah.
On to you, yeah.
Okay, hi, everyone. I'm May Pack, and I run two businesses for now. I don't know. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love starting businesses, and I love doing all that marketing stuff. But so my first business is TinyHandsOnline.com, and you can see that at TinyHandsOnline.com. So I make a line of scented food jewelry, and I've been doing that since 2006. And I don't want to get too deep into like the whole history and background of all of that, but I make a handmade product. And now with all the experiences that I've learned from that, I want to help other makers, artists, and designers learn how to do marketing better so they can make a consistent income. And you can find all of that information and do all consulting and workshops and stuff like that at creativehiveco.com. Sherry, on to you.
I'm Sherry, the crazy one from Orglamix. I have a small batch cosmetics company that I run, and I share my real life experiences with everybody online. So that's it.
All right, and your website here. Okay, so I'd love to hear from both of you guys. Maybe we'll start with May on kind of when you started using Instagram to connect with influencers, and maybe just kind of walk us through that process, I guess. We'll just start with that.
Sure, yeah. So I remember several very particular... So Sherry and I go through pretty much the same process, and we've had experiences in pretty much the same... So we've reached out to... I'll let Sherry speak for herself on this, but from what with Tiny Hands Jewelry, and you can find that on Instagram at Tiny Hands Jewelry. So I grew it, and this is funny, but I grew it from 0 to 1,000, and I actually bought fans for that, which I don't recommend you guys do, but having actually done it before, I don't recommend doing it. It's nice for people to come and see like, wow, there's so many followers there. And it, I guess, builds credibility and trust with that in that regard, but
oh, okay.
Oh, we lost May. Okay.
It's okay. We'll get it back. We'll get it back, you guys. Thank you, everyone, for your patience.
Should we have Sherry start talking while we wait to see if May can get back in? Oh, I feel so bad. May was on a roll with her chat. Okay. Keep trying, May, if you can hear us.
She'll come back.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Sherry.
So like Maya was saying, I use, I have the same philosophy, as her with Instagram, and I reach out to influencers to grow my account there. And I've worked with several little, you know, tiny accounts that have maybe 1500, can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
It was really quiet. 1500, you know, fans to bigger accounts that have upwards of 50,000, 100,000 to help grow my fan base on our Glamix. And I have currently, I think I'm just about to hit 10,000 fans. And I started out, it's been a slow process. They've grown over the years. And the last year I've been on Instagram and it works out really well. Reaching out to the influencers, I send them a direct message. So get in touch with them that way. And usually nine out of 10 people come back to me and like, we'd love to work with you. Some people just do it on a product basis. Some people exchange for gift cards. Some people want cold hard cash. So it all depends on the account, you know, but I've had really good luck with it. A couple of things that I've learned are to use specific hashtags working with an influencer. And, oh, there she is. I see Meg.
Yay!
Woohoo! And as well, one thing that I don't want to forget to tell everybody is to specify the amount of time the post is going to stay up. Because when I first started, I really thought that the post would stay up indefinitely. I didn't really think. But then when I reached out to a larger influencer, she was like, okay, you know, it's $100 for 5 hours or whatever. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know,
I had no idea that some people would take down their Instagram posts.
Oh, yes, I had no idea. Yes, they do. And okay. If you don't specify the length of time, like, is this going to be a permanent post or is it going to be hourly? Like for how long? And then once they remove the post, all the hashtags, everything, it's gone. It's like, poof, it disappears. So there's really no way, you know, you don't get the added benefit, you know, of having it there for an indefinite period of time. So that was just one thing I wanted to discuss.
Could you talk really briefly? We had a good question from Love Lila Ann. She says, did you find it hard to grow when you were just starting out? I have below 100 followers and the growth is so slow. So we know May purchased some, but she doesn't recommend that. So what about you, Sherry? How did you get that Instagram growth up?
In the beginning, I really pushed it. I pushed it on Twitter. I pushed it with my Facebook group. I pushed it in my newsletter, you know, my emails, just anywhere I could. And, you know, I followed a lot of accounts that I liked, that I loved, and I would comment. And it is a slow process in the beginning. You know, nobody expects you to start off with 1,000 or whatever followers. So it has been a slow you know, process in the beginning, but just keep at it. I think consistency is key.
Yeah.
And you will get to see results. And it's like anything, it takes a while for the momentum to get going. But once it does click in, it's worth it in the end. So just keep at it. And I know like you guys, Bethann and Sarah run a lot of contests and things like that, which I really don't do that. But working with other accounts and things can help grow your account. There's accounts out there that help promote, you know, specifically in your niche. So if you work within the handmade business, say there's a lot of accounts out there that are larger that will do promotional, you know, giveaways and posts for you for very minimal fees, you know, $25, yeah. $50. So look for those types of accounts and, you know, just keep at it just a little bit every day. And, you know, as long as you post and the time of day that you post also helps, because I notice like in the morning I get like before work when people are dropping off their kids, my market is a lot of moms. So I do really well in the morning, like a 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time post, and then a lunchtime post, and then I try to do one at like 8 p.m. between 8 and 10 p.m. And
oh, so traditionally,
I try and do 3 a day. Not every day do I do 3 a day, but that's what I strive for. And then the later one, traditionally, like my nighttime posts get definitely the most feedback.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say too, that's Jessica Lynn. Oh, I hear feedback. Do you guys hear that?
It's I like hear a so buzzing, loud. But not like verbal feedback.
So for us, because we're now at like over 2,000 followers and it did take a while to get there, I would find hashtags in our niche, comment on those photos, like those photos. And sometimes I will follow because if you follow, that really catches someone's attention in their feed. So every week I pick some accounts that I know, like this is a newer person on Instagram who's interested in and growing her Etsy shop or growing her little business. And I'll follow and get a portion back. And I use IconoSquare to unfollow the people who aren't following me. So I've been trying to do that less and less because clearly you can't do that forever. But that has really helped get to 2,000 followers. And now, if I just post every day, I use relevant hashtags. I use the first comment and try to fit in the 30 hashtags. We'll just grow through that. So we're growing every week now at 2,000 followers without as much, like, hustle, you know? So,
yeah, that's a good point. And like Beth Ann said, make sure when you're commenting, leave the comments in or leave the hashtags in your first comment. Don't leave them in your original post because you can go back and change your hashtags and refresh your post and it kind of gives it new life. So don't waste it in the top section of your post. Leave it in the first comment.
So yeah. The person, Beth Ann's our Instagram person. So I'll kind of ask the newbie questions here, I guess. So you're saying that the hashtag, when you put out your own Instagram post, you don't put the hashtag in the description. You yourself make the first comment with the hashtags.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if we want to jump back to May, oh gosh, I just have it in my head because you've been in our Facebook group for so long and it's just been in my head. My. Oh, my goodness.
That's fine.
Sorry, May.
It was so fun. Beth Ann, I was just going to tell it really quick. Yesterday, Beth Ann goes, okay, so we're blabbing with blah, 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 and Sherry. And I'm like, who is blah, blah, blah? And then she's like, you know, but she pronounced it differently. She was pronouncing it my. And I was pronouncing it May Peck instead of May Pack. And she was like, my pack. And I was like, then once we figured out, we knew that we were talking about the same person. We were just pronouncing it completely differently. It was so funny. We're like, oh, we're talking about the same person. Okay.
Yeah, I've had it said so many different ways, and I really don't care. It's not a big deal. You can call me Honey, and I'll answer to you. Honey, and yeah, that's me.
I hate it when people call me Honey. I hate that.
But, we'll have to find a good nickname for her.
Okay, so yes, okay. May, you were telling us about your Instagram.
Right. So to answer Love Lila Ann, so I actually started a separate Instagram account for my second business, and you can find that at Creative Hive Co. And what I found really helped, and it's so interesting because we all have different experiences and we've all found successes doing different things. And so what I've found has helped really well is in liking and commenting. So I tend to not follow people unless I know, like, I'm going to find really great stuff from them and that I'm going to really like their post comments. And you do that consistently. And this is actually, have you guys heard of Susan Peterson, a Freshly Picked?
Yeah.
I'm sure like everyone's heard of her, right? The adorable leather baby moccasins, and she was on Shark Tank. And she is such a genius. So she actually shared that this was her strategy when she was, and if you go to her Instagram account, she's got, I think, like half a million followers now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the start of when she was really getting into Instagram, she spent hours every day just liking and commenting. So what helps is if you can create a list of hashtags that you know your customers are using on Instagram, and then you go into those hashtags periodically through the day, and then you just start liking their photos. And I think normally like the conversion rate would be a lot around like for every 50 or 70 likes you give out to just random people that could potentially be your customers. Mm-hmm. Some of these people are going to notice you and they're going to come to your profile. And if they love your work, then they're going to follow you. So I've been able, I think, to grow create the Creative Hive Co. Instagram account that way. So I didn't buy Instagram followers. I just did the whole liking and commenting thing from day one. And I believe it's only been like 3 or 4 months and I already have about 3,500 Instagram followers. And they're like my ideal customers. These aren't people who are just like, who don't care what I do. Mm-hmm. They're actually people who I could potentially work with in the future. But I know that's kind of outside of what we were meaning to talk about, which is influencers. Yeah. So yeah. With the jewelry business at Tiny Hands Jewelry, I really grew that from, so I did like a bunch of giveaways and stuff, you know, the basic things that would help grow your Instagram account. But in regards to influencers, I have paid, like kind of what Sherry talked about, I have looked up accounts that would feature you for like 5 hours or 6 hours for a flat rate fee. And then after that, they take your photo down. And I think Sherry's tip on kind of negotiating with them to kind of just say, okay, I'll pay you this much, but how about you keep it up for 3 months? I love that idea. I have not tried that before, so I'll definitely try it out for myself. But I also want to stress how doing that is kind of different from actually going to buy fans, because all you're doing is you're just putting your product out on someone else's feed who has a ton of followers. And if those people like what they see, then they'll come over to your profile and then they'll follow you. So in that way, you are still attracting people who are going to be a part of your tribe. And I've also, what I've done with a lot of success, so like the story I tell over and over again, I found this kind of influencer on Instagram one day, and her style and her fashion sense was like totally up my alley. I could totally see her being like my brand ambassador and wearing my jewelry. And turns out the way that she's a celebrity or influencer is that she's a singer, she's a musician, and she was on The Voice on TV for like a couple of episodes. And so I reached out to her, I found her email address, I sent her a pitch. You know, I introduced myself. I told her I loved her style. I told her about my jewelry, and I offered to just send some to her for free, just as a gift, so she can wear during when she's touring, or so she can give it away as gifts to her friends and family if she has friends and family who would like my stuff. So turns out the email landed in her publicist's email address. So her publicist reads her emails, and her publicist then relayed that information to this woman. And she loved the jewelry and she wanted a whole bunch of different things, which I shipped it all out to her. And once she received it, she just took a photo of all the jewelry laid out on the table. And then she tagged me in it. So, you know, she talked about how I love this super cute scented food jewelry by at Tiny Hands Jewelry. And that was all she did. And I can't even remember how many followers she had, but like in 48 hours, I got 2,000 new fans.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's amazing. For you. Yeah. And like you said, those are people who saw your product. They saw your product and decided for themselves, hey, I really like this. I want to stay in touch with this brand. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, do you know what was like about the cost of that, of the product that you sent her? So I was curious about that. You know, I know you're...
Yeah, so my jewelry tends to range between $20 to $30, and I think she wanted like 5 or 6 different things. So I sent probably, it's under $150, you know, when you include shipping, but I think it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
That reminds me of Jill from Rustic Cuff, what she did, how she sent her rustic cuffs to celebrities, which then the celebrities would wear them, and then her jewelry would be mentioned in like a magazine or something like that, except you took the Instagram angle, which is great.
Right.
So which is probably better actually than a magazine, because then people can have the online access to your product.
Yeah. They can come right over. Yeah. So when you guys reach out to influencers, it sounds like mostly you're like you send an email or you send a direct message. Have you ever sent in terms of maybe a celebrity or something? Do you ever just send something in the hopes that they'll do something with it? Or do you always just reach out first and then figure out if they're going to say yes or if they want what you have to offer?
So I have heard before of other brands. I can't remember the name of this brand, but they make chocolate and other sorts of candy, like really high-end premium stuff. And I remember them talking about how if they truly believed that whoever they were sending this to would love their products. And if they can't get their attention by email or on Twitter or on social media, like if they're not responding to any of their pitches, they would just go ahead and send a blind package off to them. And they found that that has worked in regards to their business. I've yet to try it out for myself. So what I've done in the past is with to getting into magazines and working with influencers and bloggers, I've always sent them a pitch first to ask for their permission. And then that way I get to see, like, what exactly do you want me to send you? There has been one person that I've always wanted that, like, I think would be perfect for me, but she has not been responsive to any of my emails. And one of my assistants, she's like, just send her a huge care package. And when she gets this in the mail, she's going to open it. She's going to love it. So I think don't be afraid to do that with people, especially that you think are just going to fall in love with your stuff. And if you can't get their attention, but I haven't actually done it myself yet. So I guess I would recommend the best strategies to get their permission ahead of time and then work from there.
Did you send her the care package yet?
Not yet. And who? What's her name? She's this huge food blogger that has a TV show.
Oh, that would be so perfect.
Get on it. I would send her like a bunch of like do something like send her a bunch
Pioneer
of like
Pioneer Woman.
Pioneer Woman. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She has, like, man, I have to say I've tried her homemade from scratch donut recipe before. They are like amazing. I could see like a little donut necklace or like so many different things.
Oh yeah.
She does a lot of awesome recipes. Oh my god!
She's great. She's very particular because on her blog she says that she only endorses or talks about products or features products that she truly loves and believes in. So in that way, I feel like it might be a little bit harder to pitch to someone. And I'm sure she gets like hundreds of pitches every day for something like this. So if it's if any of you were to ever come across this experience yourself, I think the only thing you can do now is just to send a blind package and just see what happens.
Yeah, send her a box of donuts and put the necklace in. And send her a bunch, like, I'd send her some for, like, her kids and things like that.
That's a good idea.
It's not just her. Yeah, like, right. I can totally see her daughters wearing that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You got to get on that and let us know.
I know. I do.
Just do it. Stop thinking about it.
That's true. That's a
cracking the
killer sometimes. Yeah. Instead of just like trying something out. Okay. So next question for you guys, any particular advice on the verbiage when you send the pitch, anything that really works well, anything that's like totally crashes and burns?
I keep my pitches really short and sweet. 3 to 5 sentences, and I put a contact if they want to prefer to get back to me, via my email. So I'll put my email address in there because I usually reach out on Instagram, through the direct message. I think that's a great way. And people usually do get back to me very quickly. And then I always say something like to resonate with them. So like, I loved your post on this, or I liked your blog, so something that they did on Instagram or maybe something off of Instagram where I just can relate to them. And I think that helps a lot. And they know, I'm not just a random PR company sending out 10 different pitches to anybody with a large account. It's like, no, this is why. And I think your market will be interested in my product because of this. But it's not really, I promote it from not what you can do for me. Here's what I can do for you and for your customer base. And this is why they may resonate with the products that I'm selling. This is why, if it's a cruelty-free, person on Instagram, this is what I do, and I think that helps. So, really just, keep it short. People are busy. I mean, we all have a lot going on. So, yeah. I don't know, May, what about you? What's your secret?
Yeah, so I do everything Sherry does. So her great suggestions. Some things that you definitely don't want to do, because I've seen a fair share of pitches myself. So when you greet the person that you're pitching to, I think some people can try to be really formal and try to feel like it's more professional to do it this way, but don't do hi, Mr. So-and-so or hi, Miss So-and-so. And that tends to be kind of spammy. Like, so normally just call them by their first name. And I think keep it under, like, you know, keep it as short as you can. I normally, 10 lines for me is the max, so I don't go any more than that. And definitely spend the time to do your research on who this person is, what they like, what they don't like. So another thing that kind of crashes and burns for a lot of people is when you don't do the research and say this influencer on Instagram has a blog. So you go over to their blog and then all you do is read their latest blog post. And then you reference that latest blog post in your pitch and say, like, I really love this blog post. And a lot of bloggers or influencers can kind of sniff that out now, and they'll know that, oh, you didn't actually do your homework. You didn't actually, you're not actually a longtime reader. You only just looked at my latest blog post. So if you've been doing that in the past, or if you haven't, just be wary that bloggers are getting smarter and they're getting so many pitches. They're getting so many pitches that were people who do that. With just, where they just reference like the latest post. And I think we just really have to do our homework right now and really spend the time, go through their archives, look at all their social media, and really just get to know them and learn more about them. What are they into? What life events are they going through? You know, things like that. And that I feel like would really help make your pitch really more genuine. So if you're able to just make a small, like, one or two sentences of a compliment about why you like their blog or why you like them as a person. Or, but I think going on to what Sherry said also, I'll make it what is in it for them. So be very clear why they should work with you, and make it less about, like, how you just want a favor from someone else. Right. So I think that's a great tip. I've also found that if you can write a PS note on the bottom of your email, like, for some reason people read PS notes. So if there's some way you can add like a PS note on the very bottom with, I don't know, it really depends on that information that you found about them sometimes. So like one, just to give you an example, I found a magazine editor from Girls Life magazine. And she gave this whole biography on the website about like music bands she likes. And one of them was a band that was actually from my alma mater. So, my husband played football with this guy, and I was able to at least strike up some conversation to say like, oh my God, I really love this band too. Like, aren't they awesome? And I love their music. And guess what? Like, we went to school with them. Isn't that cool? And, you know, just kind of reach out to them on a more personal level as well. So, and I think that would make your pitch really stand out.
Yeah, I love that. I so can great think of other. Oh, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, so great advice, whether it's an Instagram pitch or another type of pitch that you're doing for your blog or business.
Sure. Right.
It all just relates to each other.
Yeah, I was going to say so, I could,
sorry. I had a question for Sherry, actually, because I've all my pitches over on Instagram has just been directly by email. And I wanted to hear from Sherry what she thought about doing direct messages. So I don't use the direct message feature very much. So how do you normally handle that? Do they need to follow you, or they need to allow you first in order for you to message them, right? Is that how that works? And what do you normally say?
I haven't ever had a problem direct messaging somebody. So I'm thinking that we all can direct message anybody, any account that we follow. I don't think they necessarily need to follow us back, because I'm guessing that the people that I'm reaching out to are not all following me. I don't really check, but I think that you can just reach out to them. And I just, whatever I would say, whatever you're saying in an email, just send it via direct message. Usually people get back to you, immediately. Like, I had a question a couple months ago about my Instagram account, and Sue B. Zimmerman, I don't know if any of you follow her, but she is like the Instagram, I think, queen. She's amazing on Instagram. And so I had a question about something, and I direct messaged her, and literally within, you know, 5 minutes, I had a response back. So it's pretty fast, and it was awesome. She took a look at my account and gave me some great feedback and everything, just like, you know, immediately. So that was awesome. Cool. Most people I do direct message, you know, reaching out to on an influencer level, get back to me within 24 hours. And I find that probably for every 10 pitches, eight get back to me. So it's pretty high.
Nice.
And I think it's a lot higher than if you were to go and email somebody, because I think the people that are on Instagram are really active and they're on there all the time. And I think direct messaging on Instagram is very underutilized. So mm-hmm. if you are able, it's like a quick in right now, obviously, until people start exploiting it. But it's, you know, if they're not interested, they don't have to get back to you and they can delete it and move on. But I think it's a great way to connect with people quickly. Oh,
definitely. I was going to say for everyone, I think what happens is if somebody is not following you, I don't know if you guys can see this, but I have this message request at the top of my messages. I think that's what happens for someone who you're not, like if someone messages me and I'm not following them, it goes there, but you still see it right away. And so then I can go in there and say, oh, okay, what is this about? And then I can either, it says, do you want to let this person send you messages from now on? I can choose to allow them or decline.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so it shows up as a little blurb, like right at the top. So
They still get it.
Yeah, so they're going to see it. Yeah.
Do you guys want to answer this question? It just came in from Janie Lane's studio. Hello.
Yeah, it's a good one.
She said, maybe I missed this, but how do you identify the influencer? So what is your technique for identifying the best places or best people to contact?
I can go first. So Janie Lane Studio, I'm not sure if you mean how do you find influencers or how do you tell if an influencer is an influencer? So I'll answer both ways and maybe one of them will be really what you were asking. Yeah, so how I identify influencers, and I think Sherry might have a different definition for this. I don't think there's like a hard and fast rule for what this should be. But what I look for is, and it depends also on your following. So if you have a smaller following, I tend to go for as large as if an influencer has a really large following, I consider them an influencer, but I also make sure that they have great engagement. So if someone has 10,000 followers and they're only getting like 10 likes for every post, then that's not very good engagement. So you definitely want to check. And I think like a good engagement rate on Instagram is like 5% or more is really great. So if you have 1,000 followers, you want to have about, 50 to 100 likes or comments on average per post. So that's a healthy amount. So, and it's in terms of finding these influencers, there used to be directories that you could access and find. And I think there is one that's free, but it doesn't include everyone on Instagram. So that's the only drawback. I think the influencer has to actually make an account on this website. And I can't remember what it's called anymore because I don't use it because not everyone's on there. And there are other directories you can participate in, but they usually cost like hundreds of dollars, which I ain't got the budget for that. So the way that I do it is I would just, in my research, what's really nice with Instagram is if you have a list of hashtags that you like to use or that you know your customers are using, search for that hashtag. And now with Instagram, there's the top posts, right? So the first 9 photos are the more popular posts. Mm. And you can go in and most likely one of like someone from one of those 9 posts are an influencer because the top posts are only when you get like lots of likes and comments. So chances are an influencer is popping up on the top posts. So that's a great way to actually look for influencers now. I think that's a new feature, but what I used to do is just, it's just elbow grease work, you know, every now and then you find and come across an influencer, put it to your list, put it to your spreadsheet or reach out to them right away. But there's really not any great quick and fast way to do this, I think. Sherry, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of good points. I do the same thing. When I look for somebody, I don't necessarily look for huge, huge following. I look more at the engagement. So I want a highly engaged, lots of comments, lots of likes and things like that. And, I search, the hashtags to try and find, people like that. It's, and I'll keep a running list. I use different hashtags all the time. I post maybe 3 types of photos and use different hashtags for every photo that I post on a regular basis. So I'll look at those keywords every day and see if I need to go in and revise them, look at different things. There is a new software that I just heard about, and I know you guys are going to kill me because I can't think of the name of it right off the top of my head. But it literally just came out like within the last couple of days. And it is for really advertising, doing Facebook ads on Instagram. But the cool thing, I was playing around with it last night and the name of it, I was playing around with it last night, and it's pretty amazing. You can type in, so I can type in like natural cosmetics and cruelty free, and it will data mine all of those accounts so I can push ads out to those people. So that would be one way going forward, how I'm going to try and
yeah.
influencer. So I think that that's really like powerful, you know, to use, it's called like Insta social freak or something like that. I'll get back to you guys.
Yeah. Once you figure it out. Yeah.
What exactly it is.
Yeah. Good. I was just going to say, this will be on our website, and we'll have show notes, and we'll link to all the accounts we've mentioned here. We'll link to May and Sherry's accounts. And so I am socially Nina. Don't worry. We'll find that program. We'll link it over on our website. So you'll be able to find it over at brilliantbusinessmoms.com, hopefully within, you know, a few days. So I'm hearing a lot of feedback again.
Beth Ann, you're like bubbling.
I'm bubbling.
Or somebody's giving you a high five there. I see like a bunch of like bubbles going. I'm like, what is that?
Oh, I was going to just tell everybody, so you know, if you're new to Instagram, bubbling. What they were talking about with searching hashtags and the top posts. So I searched just hashtag jewelry, which probably isn't the best idea because jewelry is a little bit general. But just to give you guys an example, those top posts that are coming up, the top nine, Mai was saying like that's where she goes and she looks to see, all right, is this someone who's kind of like an influencer in that space? Do they generally do posts that are really, really popular for this category? Okay, so we have a few questions over here. Bringing up Betty wants to know, to determine the like comment ratio, are you looking at individual photos they've posted?
Yeah, so to answer bringing up Betty, that's what I normally do. I tend to, when I do my research for influencers, I tend to use my computer. And it's a lot easier because when you hover your mouse over a photo, you can see right away how many likes and comments they've gotten. So I just kind of take a ballpark average general idea for what that is. And I know, I think Matthew had a comment earlier that I wanted to address with 5% that he thinks it's unrealistic. If you get 1%, then you're doing well. And I think that's really up to you, you know, with how, I mean, of course, the higher their engagement rate, the better. If you reached out to someone who has 100,000 followers, who's getting 100 likes per post, then, and if you were to spend the money to send her free product, she might get you some new followers and new fans, but it would be a lot better if you reached out to someone who had even, say, 10,000 followers who is getting 500 likes per comment, because then you know that their audience is really, really engaged with them and really hangs on to every word they say and really trusts their recommendations. So it's kind of a balance, you know, you're going to find, it's really hard to find an account or a profile who has really high engagement rate. But from what I've seen, I think 5% tends to, like, I feel like that's kind of a sweet spot. For in terms of my investment, like what I'm actually sending out in terms of costs, what I'm spending for creating the product and shipping, and actually what I get in return for it, I feel like it's more worth it. If I set this minimum for myself, 5% mm-hmm. engagement rate is who I'll choose to work with.
That makes sense.
And I think a lot of it is just trial and error. You have to test and try different things. Like I personally, on my account, I get better results when I work with smaller accounts. You know, I found that those are more engaged audiences for me. So I get a better benefit, you know. But if I'm sending somebody, for instance, like the larger accounts, they may require like a cash payment of, say, $250, where I can work with a smaller account and maybe give them a gift card for $25 or $50. So that obviously doesn't cost me as much. And, you know, that sort of thing. So you kind of have to weigh where, how much you're paying, what type of results you're looking to get, and how much it's going to cost you and the value of that. One other thing I wanted to say really quickly is that I found like when I first started working with influencers, I would provide like the photos, or they'd come to my website and take maybe a photo off of it. And I wanted to encourage everybody, you know, try and see what works for you. But I've definitely, like, more of a lifestyle, realistic shot works a thousand times better. So even if it's, like, you know, them getting in and opening up the package and they're sending a shot of, like, what the eyeshadows look like on their desk or on or something like that, a thousand times better than just a photo pulled off of my website. And you can really kind of tell, you know, the influencers that you work with, the ones that are putting thought and, you know, their own personal touch on what they're doing. It just, you'll get a lot better results and a lot better feedback if it's more natural coming from them than it is like a forced image off of your website.
That makes sense.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, and actually to expand on what Sherry just said, for those of you guys who have a product that's not necessarily something you can send for free just willy-nilly all the time, like if it's a really expensive product that you just can't, like the cost doesn't make it worth it, it's not impossible to just have influencers use photos from your website, or if you can provide them with photos. And I believe, like, if you were to work with accounts that do charge to get to be featured on, and then they take away your post like after 5 hours or so, I think a lot of them that I've worked with tends to give you that option that if they use your own photo, they charge a little bit more or something, versus if they use their own photo, then the price isn't as high.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So, and I guess that makes sense because they got a free product in exchange as well if they're taking their own photo. So, so I wanted to talk a little bit about pricing because I know you both kind of have experience with that. I'm sure there's a lot of new businesses out there who are wondering, like, well, if I want to give this a try, how much do I need to budget? What's a general rule? How do I, you know, kind of negotiate that? I don't know if whoever wants to start.
I found that it's kind of, you know, it depends. The larger accounts I found that are looking for more of the cash type of, you know, incentive where maybe it's, you know, I found everything from $10 to $50 up to one account that was going to charge $5,000 for a post for 5 hours.
Wow.
And I know it's just unbelievable.
How many followers did that account have? I'm so curious.
I believe at the time, I think now she has over 500,000, but I think she had close to like 300, maybe 325. But you know, she's obviously used to working with bigger brands. She works, you know, with Nordstrom and these types of accounts where they're paying that. So, you know, I always start at the bare minimum. I always start, hey, can I offer you product for free? I'll send you, go look at my website, see what you would like to, you know, try or whatever, or a gift card. I'll pitch, you know, a $50 gift card, a $100 gift card. And some people are like, no, all I do is, you know, cash. Then it's like, okay, and what can you do? But I found usually, I think most of the accounts are around $50 to $100 per 10,000 followers, I would say, is what I've found.
Is it always in?
Okay.
Can I just ask really quick, Sherry, is it always like a negotiation between you and the influencer, or do some people have like a fee schedule? And this was kind of asked by, I think it was Online Girl TJ. I'm sorry if I can't remember exactly, but does anybody like post like a fee schedule in advance?
I haven't really found any accounts that post more of the private accounts. If they don't have somebody that's representing them and they're not in a huge group, it's not public. So they kind of negotiate from there. But if you're using an influencer off of, especially one that's represented through an agency, then yeah, those they're going to be higher and those rates are posted. Okay. But I found everything is negotiable. So I usually start out with giving them the product, then moving up to a gift card, and then cash at the last resort.
Okay. And what gift card, you mean gift card to your shop, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Gotcha. Yes. Because then it doesn't cost me as much, obviously.
Sure.
May, what do you do?
Yeah, so this is, I want to stress on that, like everything is negotiable. And this is something that I kind of really learned and just started really doing more of recently. I mean, just because we're women doesn't mean we have to just play by the rules all the time. Just whatever works for you, you know, you just, if it's going to work better for you a certain other way, tell people what you want and see if you can work with people to come to like a common ground. So everything's negotiable. But in regards to pricing, so what I found with the people who charge for like one post, 6 hours or 24 hours, that sort of thing, are typically feature accounts. So I know we didn't talk about this, so let me talk more about what feature accounts are, but it's basically a profile where all they posted was pictures from other people's accounts. So you don't really know who they are or what they do or if they've been based in America. But some of these feature accounts get great engagement and have tons of followers. And most of them that I found, and so I prefer to work with influencers who I can just send free product to and not have to pay a fee for. And I guess that's the ideal scenario, right? Is you don't actually have to take money out of your pocket to pay for something like this. So that's my first choice. I have seen at one point I did a lot of actually paying for these features. And from what I've seen, it's anywhere from like $40 to $200. And then they have packages, like if you want to do 7 posts in a week, or if you want them to include a link to your shop in their bio, then that's an extra fee. And then how long they keep it up there for, and that's another extra fee. But I believe it when Sherry says that there are influencers out there who charge like $5,000. But from the people that I've reached out to, it's maybe capped to like $200, $300. And it's normally like a package for like X amount of days, for X amount of posts, for X amount of hours.
Okay.
So how often do you think you guys use influencers on Instagram? At that rate, $200, $300, or a lot of product, that could add up quickly. So maybe start with you, May. How often do you work with an influencer at those type of rates?
I don't normally tend to, and I think with actually paid influencers where I've had to pay money for this, I think I've only done it like 2 or 3 times. And I think one of them even, I sent them the product and I had to pay for it. So that's the worst case scenario.
Oh,
yeah.
Double whammy.
Yeah, yeah. But it turned out pretty well. It turned out well, and they got me great, great new followers. And it's not something that I do as consistently as I probably should. So in terms of how often I reach out to influencers and how often I do this actually paying to be featured, not often. I would say maybe just a handful of times every year. And I mean, of course, for something like this, if you can consistently do this every week, every month, you're going to grow your Instagram following really, really quickly. It's just not something that I don't know. I have no excuse. I don't know why I don't do it more often.
So you're
maybe,
busy.
And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do.
Lots
you know?
Of things to do and try. Yeah.
Right. But interestingly, it's not the only way to grow your Instagram following. So Tiny Hands Jewelry, I built my following up to 10,000 via Instagram influencers. And from 10,000 to 20,000, I think I just passed 20,000 fans now or followers. That was all through. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yay.
That was just.
Flip. Sorry.
That was just all through posting regularly once a day. I used to do once a day, and now my virtual assistant helps me post twice a day. She basically takes all of my Facebook posts and put it on Instagram as well. So I post twice a day. I use relevant hashtags. I do the whole liking and commenting on other people's accounts. And that is a great strategy as well. So if you can do all of it together, you're going to be growing in no time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so impressed with, 20,000 followers, that's awesome, you know? And you're getting, like, one of May's recent posts has 888 likes on it. Like, that's
awesome.
A lot of people that are seeing your products on a regular basis. So, yeah.
I wanted to point out really quickly, before I handed my Instagram profile off to my virtual assistant, she does a great job, but a lot of the posts are now recycled posts. Mm. So because I run a second business, I don't have much time anymore to create fresh and new content. So a lot of the posts that you're seeing now on @TinyHandsJewelry are actually posts that I posted like 2 or 3 or 4 months ago. So I wanted to note that I found it was interesting that I was actually getting better engagement when I was creating fresh content, and that when it was me that was managing the Instagram account, like even at like 10,000 followers, for some posts that would get like over 1,000 likes. And it's interesting to see now that even with more fans, my engagement has dropped a little bit. And I think that has something to do with that it's not me posting on anymore, and that it's also not fresh content. So just kind of a little bit of an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
Do you think you have crossover, like your Facebook fans are your Instagram fans? Is there a lot of crossover there? because for like Orglamix, I find like my Facebook fans stay on Facebook. My Instagram fans are my Instagram fans. So I'm
yeah. Yeah, it tends to be a separate crowd. I mean, maybe there's a small percentage of super fans who follow you everywhere. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, yeah, it's a different audience altogether.
And you push from Facebook to Instagram, right?
Yeah.
You should try trying, because I do it backwards. And I don't know, maybe just test it and see what happens. But try from pushing from Instagram to Facebook mm-hmm. and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, that's an interesting strategy. I'll think about that.
I was going to say, I totally noticed that too. I mean, obviously our Instagram account's a lot smaller, but yeah, it's like there's certain people that, and sometimes because Sarah and I will even chat because she's on Facebook more and I'm on Instagram more. So I'll be like, oh, like I know that Love Lila Ann is Jesselyn, and that's because she's on Instagram and that's where we connect. But Sarah knows other people that are connected with us on Facebook. So for anyone out there who's like, oh my goodness, another social media, I can't do it. And that's fine. You can't always do it, but you should be encouraged that it's not just the same. Like they said, you're getting new people. It's not, you're not just like having one more way to connect with the same old people. You really are growing your entire audience and customer base by being in a new place.
Yeah.
And I think Facebook and Instagram work so well that way because they're formatting, like the layout of the way they have their just, you know, on the iPhone app and on Facebook on your computer, square photos do really well. So if you were to share content between the two of them, you're like, you don't have any time, but you want to hit both social media platforms at once, even though they're different audiences, it saves you time not having to create new content for both different social medias.
Definitely. I was going to mention for everyone who, like, price-wise and in terms of maybe testing out the whole, you know, working with an influencer on Instagram, and this is one thing that we are trying coming up with our planner that's coming out. And this is a little bit different, I will say, because our planner is targeted towards a small business owner. But so we're using accounts like, for example, this one where it's Hello Love Handmade. They've got, you know, 50-some thousand followers. I think we only pay $25 to have a feature with them. The feature stays up forever. And so they'll talk about our planner and tag us. Now, the thing with them is clearly like it's iffy because everyone who's following them is also a handmade product person. And so are they your target market or are they not? But for us, it was a much easier choice because we're like, well, yeah, they are our target market because they're a handmade business owner and our planner is helpful to them. But that's just a thought for some of you guys. If you just search like handmade on Instagram under people, you can find there's like Hello Love Handmade, Hello I'm Handmade, Handmade Loves. There's several accounts like that. And it's you can do a $25 one-time deal, send them a great photo and just kind of test it out that way. But like these ladies said, I think you guys are doing it, you know, an awesome way where you're very targeted in who you're reaching out to, which I think is really good.
When is your Hello Handmade launching?
The planner launches. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a good plug. The Brilliant Business Planner launches November 2nd. So it is coming up really soon. So we'll have that. It's for the whole year 2016. So you guys can get your planners. And so we have three scheduled posts going up at this point with three different like handmade feature accounts. So we've got, I think one on the 2nd, one on the 3rd, and then one that's going to be in December. So we're testing the waters with that. I have found that it's like, oh, that's a great question. And Sarah, and I actually had wanted to ask that. So bringing up Betty, Sarah asked, are you able to track direct sales from Instagram?
Ooh. I don't. I have a Bitly link in my profile that's set up to a landing page. So I really use my Instagram account, not so much for direct sales, but I try and get email addresses. That's like my number one goal. So that's kind of how I track it, by signups. And then I know my customer lifetime value, and that's kind of how what makes sense about how I track my resources and my time and my energy that I'm putting into it. So that's kind of how I track it. But one second, I know May has more to add to this, but just going back on the Hello Handmade, I was just saying, like, a lot of times the accounts will also, you can pay for a post, and also in conjunction with the post, you can pay for a giveaway. And I think when you do the post and a giveaway in conjunction, you're going to get so many more, such a higher level of engagement that I think that's definitely something that if you can consider doing that, or offering their community a discount code to track the sales is another way. So, give each one a specific code, a limited time that you can use the code for. And, that's one way that you would be able to track it. But for me, my goal really isn't the sale. It's just getting an email address. I've just found it's hard to go from like a social platform like that or Facebook or whatever and get a sale. So I work it off of my emails. But May, do you have anything?
Yeah. So I recently moved over to Shopify, and a lot of that had to do with Sherry telling me about
Finally. Cheers. I'm cheering. Way to go.
I love Shopify. But prior to that, I was using a self-hosted open source e-commerce platform. And what I was able to do was on my checkout page, I asked people, how did you hear about us? So, and I believe with Shopify, you could probably do something like that. It's probably an app or plugin you can install. But I made sure that it was not a requirement for people to answer that, so that it would at least help streamline the checkout process for people. I didn't want to create too many barriers for them and make it easy for them to check out. But for everyone that did respond to how did you hear about us, number one, the majority came from Facebook, and number two was from Instagram, a close second. So in a way, you can't really track Instagram sales, but I was at least able to tell that a lot of my sales were coming from Instagram. So, and I love what Sherry said, like if you're able, because some forms of marketing you just can't track, right? Like you're giving out business cards to people. How do you figure out someone actually found you because their friend gave you their business card? And I love Sherry's idea of using a coupon code. And, people are going to want to use that coupon code. And that way you can see indirectly how many sales you're getting from a different, a form of marketing that's hard to track.
So Zach Lyman's question, do you feel Instagram is the hardest platform to get people to click a link on? Maybe it's not as hard if you're getting Instagram and Facebook as being a huge amount of traffic for you. What do you think, May?
I think it's definitely harder for people to want to click on links, or it's not even, you just have that one clickable link, right? It's definitely a bigger challenge than it is in other social media. But if you sell a product, what you can consider is actually bringing your sales over to Instagram. And so basically you're selling directly on Instagram. And I found a lot of people have been doing that. I used to do that in 2014. And in that way, people don't have to click over to my shop. All they can do is say sold, or they'll leave me a comment with their PayPal email address, and then an invoice will be sent automatically to them. So I think selling on social media, you can use Spreezy. I just taught a class on Creative Live on how to do that. And so if you need resources on that, Spreezy is a link that you should check out, Spreesy. It allows you to bring your entire shop over to your Instagram profile. And you can do this on Facebook as well. And in that way, I feel like it helps counter that barrier of there only being one link that you can click on. So, and I think that can probably work for both physical and digital product. And you can pretty much sell whatever you want. You can sell your house on Instagram if you want and have people PayPal your email address.
PayPal.
Just take a $100,000.
The house, honey.
And to answer Sarah's question, yes, you can use a pretty link, correct? It doesn't matter what link you use in the top, you can use a pretty link. Okay.
Yeah.
That's bringing up Bitly, Sarah.
Yeah, pretty link, Bitly, both of those would work to track the click. I'm still confused a little bit on Spreezy, how this works, if you don't mind elaborating a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, so Spreezy is a free app, so you don't even pay a monthly fee. You don't pay a commission on any sales they make for you. What it does is you get an account, and it's really easy to make an account. You go in there, and then you upload products. And then there's kind of a process for taking that product and putting it on Instagram, but it's like some simple copy and pasting it over to your Instagram. And then it kind of connects. Spreezy kind of has like some programming with Instagram's API or whatever. But then when someone comments with their PayPal email address on a product listing or a photo, for example, that you have, say your planners for sale, and then, you know, you have your description and your text description on like how much this is, how much is shipping, what is this people are getting, and then instructions on how people can buy, all they need to do is comment with their PayPal email address, and you don't have to manually send them an invoice. Spreezy will automatically send them an invoice with like, here's how you can check out. Oh. Yeah, so they never have to leave Instagram, which is what's really nice about this whole social media buying, because your conversion rates instantly go up and you're really meeting people where they're already hanging out at. And Spreezy has like a ton of other really cool features. For example, people can subscribe to every time you have a new product that you're putting in your Instagram profile as a shop listing, and it can send them emails to just update them. Yeah, but it's really, really cool.
And okay, and so and well. You don't have to have a Shopify shop to use Spreezy. You can, okay.
Yeah,
great. You don't. So any products from anywhere. Okay,
wow.
That's awesome.
Ooh, I'm going to try it. Yeah. I'm trying that's it next amazing. Week.
We got to try this out. Yeah, Spreezy.
Definitely.
Okay, we've got a few. Okay, so Melissa was trying to answer Sarah's question. Any link shortener is effective for tracking IG traffic, but I don't believe it really helps for directly tracking sales conversion. I think it still requires some guesswork. Yeah, that's true. But then the other question, I know this probably applies more to affiliates. This is from Sarah, but do you ever use Like to Know It? We don't. I've heard
that's
a lot of work.
Is.
I've heard it's a lot of work for not very much commission. I heard that, I think, just from Hillary Rushford the other day, who's obviously she's grown her business a ton, so she doesn't really care about those affiliate sales anymore. But any thoughts on that, you guys?
No. I don't use it either,
but I've heard the same thing as you, Bethann. I think it's, you know, from what I've heard, it's a lot of work for not a lot of money. So
yeah.
I don't know, but research it. You never know. And just because somebody else is not getting great results, that doesn't mean that you can be the one to get fabulous results.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
true.
You just have to try and test it for your business. Everybody's different.
And that Bethann and I actually thought about at some point doing guest posts on our blog where people who did experiments like that could kind of explain what they did, what they tested, and their results, because we can't all try everything. So for instance, Sarah, at bringing up Betty, if you try that, maybe let us know if you decide I'm not pushing you into it. Maybe you find some awesome technique where that works for you. And if somebody conducts a great business experiment, we're all open to guest posting about how that worked on our blog. So,
yeah, that's the great thing about the Facebook group, the Brilliant Business Moms private Facebook group, is like a lot of us are just trying and testing in our everyday. You know, they try something and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. I'm going to try it. Gives me the inspiration to do it, but yet do it my own way. And I'm trying and testing different things, and somebody may get inspiration from that. So there's a lot of sharing that goes back and forth. And, you know, I just encourage everybody to try your own thing, because it could be the thing for you. Not everybody can do everybody, but you just have to try, you know, different things.
Absolutely. Okay. Do we have more questions or from anybody listening? I guess we'll have to start slowly wrapping up this.
Yeah, we'll have to wrap up soon.
We have an interview for our podcast coming up, a really good interview, which
we're excited. You guys will get to hear it in a few weeks.
Are you going to give us a sneak peek of what it's about?
It's about somebody launching a book.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Somebody big launching a book, yeah. We're excited, yeah. Excited to chat about it. Yeah, so any more questions? And thank you, ladies, so much. This has been wonderful. I know Sarah and I have both learned a ton just from chatting with you two and asking questions. And I think there's been a lot of viewers here who are excited to try this out now.
Why don't we have Sherry and May explain to everybody where they can be found online or their Instagram account or both? Sherry, do you want to start?
Sure. You can connect with me if anybody has any questions about anything that I discuss at Orglamix everywhere, wherever you want to connect with me.
And that's Instagram as well, Orglamix?
Yep. Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Vine. I'm on Snapchat, wherever.
Wow.
Awesome.
I love that. I wish that I could have my actual like tiny hands just everywhere. Unfortunately, like the name is too common, so it's a little more complicated for me. But for Instagram, you guys can find me at Creative Hive Co. Or if you're interested to check out my jewelry line, you can see that at Tiny Hands Jewelry. And don't comment at me on that account because I no longer manage that. My virtual assistant goes through all my comments, and there's a really good reason for that because a lot of drama can happen on that Instagram account because there's so many people. And so I let her just filter. Yeah, I just have her filter it all for me so I don't have to go through all the negativity. So So like the recent drama was that I released a bacon necklace. And so normally, and for those of you guys who are not familiar with my jewelry line, they're all scented, they all smell and look like little cupcakes and waffles and sweet treats and candy desserts and things like that. So bacon is kind of a different thing that I'm doing. And this lady who's a vegan, she flipped out and she was like, I don't understand why you're making bacon jewelry. This is awful. This is cruel. And, you know, like hundreds of comments and people are all quarreling over something.
It's jewelry. Totally. You did not kill a pig to make that jewelry.
I know exactly. So, like
that's crazy. That, click away if you don't want to look at it. Then don't look at it. But,
yeah, it was awful. It was awful, and people are like saying really mean things to each other. And so I just let my assistant just handle all of that for me because I can't.
That's so awesome. I'm hiring somebody to manage my Instagram account as well, just because I can't do it all. But I think that's so awesome because as entrepreneurs, I think we have a tendency to like if somebody is negative to focus on the negativity. Mm-hmm. I know for me personally, it ruins my whole day, and I'm like, my husband's
exactly.
Like, you've got a 1,000 awesome emails this month. Yeah. You know, why not? Why are you focusing on this one negative thing? And I think it's like, we're just, you know, we're very sheltered in what we do. It's very hands-on. And I think we're, you know, used to working by ourselves and we don't really have anybody. So it's hard. That's so smart that you're doing that. Yeah. That's awesome. Good for you.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, May. You can continue telling us where we can find you on
So on Instagram, you can find me at Creative Hive Co. or my website, creativehiveco.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
And you can find us at brilliantbusinessmoms.com.
There you go. Yeah, I think we should probably wrap up then, huh? This has been awesome. Seriously, thank you ladies so much for lending your time and your expertise.
Awesome. Oh. My God, thanks, guys. Yeah. This was really interesting. Yeah, this was my first one. I'm definitely
it's our second.
Mine too.
Yeah. Practice. Really? Okay. I'm like trying to hold my phone. Like I'm moving all around. I feel like I have ants in my pants and I'm like, my hair just like in my headset. I don't know. I need to like, and I'm like, oh my God, like my eyebrows. I don't know.
Listen.
That's what I was thinking.
Holy hell. But I did. I got dressed today. I'm dressed, so I'm out of my yoga pants, and mostly I work from my pajamas. So it's so awesome.
Good job.
Well, thank you so much. This was awesome.
You're welcome.
Thanks for setting this up.
You're welcome.
Putting all this together.
It'll be on our site too soon as well too. All right, I'm going to X you guys all out, and then we'll close this thing out. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in.
All right, bye guys.